And this is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We are still awaiting passage of the next COVID-19 relief package out of Congress. Yesterday, there was a development that could potentially set it back further. Backers of a push to raise the federal hourly minimum wage to $15 an hour suffered a key loss after a Senate official ruled the measure cannot be considered as part of President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion proposal. Under the decision from Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough, the provision raising the wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 by 2025 will have to be removed and considered as a standalone bill or as part of other legislation. On the other end of the WEMU phone line is 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell, and thank you so much for the time today.
Good morning, David. It's always good to speak with you. And it's TGIF.
Indeed it is. On this minimum wage issue, where do you stand? Do you favor the increase?
I do favor the increase. I feel very strongly that we should be paying people. If you look at the people, the men and working men and women who have been the glue of this COVID crisis in our country, who have kept us growing together, they're people that we didn't feel were worth paying $15 an hour. We need to pay people their value. They shouldn't be working two jobs and still at the poverty line. So I'm a strong supporter of it, very disappointed by the parliamentarian's ruling and leaving as soon as I'm done talking to you for the Hill to figure out what's next.
Well, now in order to enact the increase, it will have to be a separate bill, and I would imagine that will be introduced in both chambers of Congress in pretty quick fashion. Is that what you're talking about?
I think that it will for sure be introduced. I think it has been introduced already as a separate bill in the House. But we also are going to, I think the bill that we passed in the House today is most likely to still include it. I think that will be one of the discussions this morning. Does the House still include it? Or do they let it go as a standalone vote? I don't know what the wishes of the caucus are, and that will be a very early morning discussion everybody has this morning.
Now, another option that was announced earlier this week by Republican Senators Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton would be to increase the federal minimum wage to $10 per hour by 2025, but then automatically increase it every 2 years to match the rate of inflation. Is that something that might win some broad appeal across party lines?
I think that people deserve more money now. Do you know how many people, David, are working two and three jobs and still just being paid at the poverty line? They're still living at the poverty line. I'm really worried about people who work so hard. And it's women that are being the most impacted, the caregivers, the child caregivers, the senior caregivers, the grocery store worker, even the bus drivers that don't have somebody working hard for them. They work long, tedious hours, and their jobs of late are more dangerous than yours and mine and many others. So I think we need to have a real discussion in this country about the worst of somebody's work and how hard they work, and are they compensated for the value of their work?
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU as we continue. And I want to go further down the line you just brought up in assessing some of the impacts of minimum wage increases. There are so many complexities to consider. As I'm sure you've heard from some of the small business owners in the district, there's a great fear $15 minimum wages will force many to close. The Congressional Budget Office says the increase will, in fact, cost the U.S. about 1.4 million jobs. So with that in mind, you still believe the $15 wage is justifiable?
I do. And I think that it'll bring more money into the economy. I'm not sure that I've seen other statistics that do not show those kind of numbers. And we have to, it's a gradual. I mean, it wouldn't be you would suddenly make the 15. There is a lead up to it. But people deserve to be paid what they're worth. And I don't want those small businesses to go out of business. We got to work together to keep the small businesses strong, but to pay people what they are worth.
You did mention child care, and I want to look at that for a moment. There's a new Heritage Foundation study out that shows the minimum wage increase would raise the cost of child care an average of 21%. That would add over $3,800 in annual care expenses for a family with two children. If that's true for all too many, it kind of offsets the gradual increase in income. So if we are going to enact the increase at $15 an hour, which, again, is barely a livable wage, how do we also ensure it is meaningful in enhancing opportunity and quality of life?
We are looking at doing things. There are child care, tax credit packages, earned income. We are looking at other policies that help them, that help the parents, the somebody who's a loved one, who's got somebody that needs help. That's what we are looking for, is how do you help everybody as they start, you know, that we are in this. But, David, I just think we do need to worry about everybody. But I looked at, when I really, really became aware of it was when John was sick. Mm-hmm. And I needed help. And some of the women that would help take care of John, I always paid minimum wage, would tell me the stories of how hard they were working and that they couldn't get ahead in their own struggles. One of them had cancer, developed cancer while working for me, and had a son and couldn't even afford to, like, give him money for his classroom activities. I just think we have to, and we will do, we have the CARES bill. We'll have another bills we're going to be moving this year, things that we do to help families that are having caregiving issues. So we're helping those that need the most this year. You know, like just in my district, the 12th district, the one you're broadcasting mm-hmm. from, it would give 88,000 workers a hard-earned pay raise. You know, it's just, it would, here are some of the statistics that people don't think about. It would mean higher pay for 27 million workers. And it would pull nearly a million people out of poverty nationwide. What it does is help these low-wage workers who are working full-time, like you and I just said, and that can't provide for their families.
Well, with that minimum wage provision out of the relief package now, and we'll expect a standalone bill soon, when might we get a vote on the rest of the relief package?
Today. Tonight will probably be until about midnight. We will finish it in the House today. Then it will go to the Senate. They probably will take it up. I talked to Debbie Stabenow last night. They had been hoping Tuesday. Now it looks like Wednesday. We will then go to conference, and this bill will be on the president's desk by March 14th. Pelosi's promised that. Chuck Schumer's promised that before any programs expire that people are counting on.
Our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. I do want to touch on another measure. The U.S. House this week voted to approve the Equality Act, which will provide legal protections for the LGBTQ community. It's a measure you co-sponsored when first introduced back in 2019. What kind of timeline is this one to actually become law?
I think it'll move to the Senate quickly, and I pray that there are enough folks there that we can finally make it so that if you are gay or lesbian or transgender in this country, you are not a victim of hate crimes. You cannot be discriminated against for a job or for a business or for where you're going to live. It passed pretty strongly yesterday in the House. And I think the votes will be there in the Senate, and we know that Joe Biden will sign it.
The Republicans who stand opposed to the measure point to the notion that those who were born male will end up competing in women's athletics, and that amounts to an unfair advantage. What are your thoughts?
I'm actually studying a lot, talking to people, talking to doctors. I'm trying to be supportive of people that are transgender and I'm trying to be supportive of the parents. I know it's becoming more and more of an issue, and I am trying to, I'm talking to doctors and trying to understand what hormones and other medicines people are taking are doing, and we need to understand it. But equal is equal. And we really need to all do a better job of understanding the complicatedness of some of these issues. And, you know, the hate on this doesn't help anybody. I think you probably saw the newest member that has, from Georgia, putting up a sign that was a total hate sign, whose office is across from a new member who's got a child that is transgender. You know, these are very difficult moments. It's very hard. Families want to support their children, but it's difficult for everybody. And a pure act to just cause hate and fear and division. I think it's time in this country for a little more empathy, a little more compassion, and a lot less hate.
I'd like to thank you for the time and your conversation this morning, and I will look forward to our next.
Well, by next week, the House will have passed this bill, so I look forward to it.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and the 12th District, of course, incorporates portions of Washtenaw County. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station. It's 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.